The Gambling Files Podcast, the podcast with zero fucks to give. Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files Podcast. I am flying solo this week. It's not so much a circle jerk, more a exercise in solo masturbation, a menage a un, if you will. I'm your host, John Bruford. I'm joined today. I'm going to do away with the intro thing because I'm freewheeling. I'm feeling a little crazy. I'm a child of the 60s, except I'm not. But I'm joined today by Scott Longley of the And More Empire. Scott, wait. There's something I've got to say before you speak. What I've got to say is this. If anybody out there has any gambling industry recruitment needs, you should definitely go and look up grs-recruit.com. That is Gaming Recruitment Solutions. grs-.com. No, grs-recruit.com. They're very, very nice people, and they're good at doing all of those things. And they're our corporate overlords. Corporate. So, Scott Longley of the And More Empire.
Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. It's been a while. I think we had you on just before Christmas.
Yes, indeed. It was 2022. Yeah.
And you hinted at things. You teased us.
I did.
Because you were like, oh, I've got this thing coming and I can't tell you what it is. I mean, that's a pretty decent impersonation.
That was pretty much it. And now I can tell you what it is, John.
What is it? Or what was it?
It's a new newsletter, a companion to Earnings and More, called Compliance and More, covering, obviously, regulatory and compliance news. And I'll just turn my phone off. A new newsletter, second newsletter from And More Media, as you say. And we've also added... I deal with the Sharper newsletter with Cody Luongo. So we are a family of newsletters.
Sweet. I get the Sharper newsletter. Well, I get Compliance and More as well. And the Pinch Point, which is one of yours.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And I was talking to Fintan about this, and we were saying that you've created something quite unique. I'm particularly a fan of the use of Substack, and it's opened my eyes to the use of Substack. I get more Substack notifications than I do for any of the messaging apps in my phone, but I think that's just because I'm not very popular.
Probably.
And I sign up to newsletters, so it's like, oh, that could be a message from a friend.
Well, we are your friends, John, you know.
Well, it's like they said in the League of Gentlemen, you're never alone with a pen. In fact, in The Simpsons, where I believe it was Ned Flanders said, you're never alone when you've got a fluorescent tube light.
There you go. Yes.
Compliance and More. What's that about then? I mean, is it all in the title?
Yes, it is pretty much. It's all about the regulatory situation, the global regulatory situation affecting the gambling sector. Particularly events in the US currently and in Europe. Those obviously the key regions. Those are the ones we have covered particularly. I'd like to have some more coverage from Asia, but I don't know any journalists based in Asia yet. We're hoping to source some. If you know of any, John, just point them in my direction.
I do know some, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Covering the regulatory and assorted kind of areas of concern around payments and crypto and esports or esports betting and other areas which are of interest to those who work within the industry, hopefully.
Sweet. Well, how's that going down then? Because, I mean, that launched early in January, didn't it?
Yeah, it's been going well. We've got a, we've had a very nice response from people who said it's a useful addition to their work a day in terms of what they can read and churn up on and get an idea of what's going on in the sector.
How's its growth been compared to earnings and more?
Yeah, well, it's better because we've obviously been able to sign up quite a few people from directly from earnings and more who've switched, jumped across. GDPR means we can't just send it out to that database, but we've done quite a good job of cross selling, as they say. So yeah, it's going better than it's going at a faster clip than earnings and more did. That was quite slow initially. There was that moment. Any moment, I think, when you're doing something like this, John, as you all know, where you fear that you are only speaking to yourself, and you have it confirmed when you're on a Substack platform because it tells you you've only got 20 subscribers.
Yep.
Yeah, but so you get over that. You get over that, and you can use social media to all its efforts to try and encourage people to sign up. And I think the thing you mentioned there, the point about why you're getting so many notifications from Substack is that newsletters are a great way of communicating with people directly in their inbox without forcing them to go and visit a website.
And the Substack app as well. I mean, it's a lovely, clean interface.
Beautiful. And it's free, John, which is
the price is right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, the thing you were saying about, you're talking to yourself. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking, I've got another podcast in me somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and I thought of this podcast, and I was thinking about how I do it, and I thought, it's a fucking winner. It's a total fucking winner. And then I realized that nobody else would ever listen to it, and nobody would ever even find it.
Well, I always assumed that the Gambling Files started out with you and Fintan purely because then it would stop you from realizing you were just talking to yourself. I guess that's...
Well, I'm not sure. I can't really remember why it started other than, I had some time.
Yeah.
But I was... So I had never listened to a podcast until just a couple of months ago, 3 months ago maybe.
Mm.
Which Fintan's like, it was like, it's a little bit strange. But I quite like just finding my own way with things.
Yeah.
And my own voice and my own workarounds to things. Mm. I got a little bit of advice about hardware and stuff because a mate does this really, really successful podcast. And so I discovered this podcast by Hadley Freeman, the former Guardian journalist.
Yeah.
And it was about the movies of John Hughes.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
And I thought, holy shit, why have I never thought to look for the niche shit that I like in the world of podcasts? So I started looking for essentially teen movie podcasts, and there aren't any.
Right.
And I'm like, fair enough, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was a little surprised because usually you're like, any niche you want, you'll find it in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But so I'm thinking about doing this other podcast. I'm thinking, and I was thinking about doing a podcast looking back at the entire career of essentially a B-movie actor called Brian James and just finding every appearance of his that I can. Right. And podcasting about that appearance.
Why would I ever have heard of him? What was he in?
Probably the highest profile movie he ever made was Blade Runner.
Okay.
Are you particularly familiar with Blade Runner?
No, I'm familiar enough. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's the replicant that is being interviewed in the opening of the movie.
Okay.
Usually played heavies, villains of some kind.
Okay.
In the movies, and in most things, he's that sort of breed of actors that came up late 60s, early 70s, and they're almost part of the furniture when they're in a scene.
Yeah.
You know, they're an actor, not a movie star.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant. Mm. And I was listening to a podcast about Sam Raimi's second movie, Crime Wave, and Brian James is a big part of that. And the guy that was hosting the podcast was quoting something Brian James had said about it, about how he's completely off his tits for the entire filming. And I just thought,
That's the kind of guy you want to get to know.
But people, like James is a niche actor at the best of times, you know? And even though he's done some relatively high profile films, he's always a very tiny part of those films. And I think there's something really sad that somebody who did so much in his career, and he died quite young, he's not even a footnote.
Well, there's the title of your podcast.
Not even a footnote, the Brian James story.
Yes, there you go. There you go. You're off.
Good times. I need to just make a quick note of that.
You should make a note of that one. That's a good title.
Footnote. Sponsorship for Not Even a Footnote, the Brian James story, is available.
That's right. Go to Blockbuster. Sponsor it.
Even Blockbuster would be like, I've never heard of him. But seriously, like horror movie, B-movie fans, they'll all just be like, oh, fuck yeah, I love that guy.
There you go. There you go, yeah.
He's not like Bruce Campbell level, but he's pretty fucker. We won't get into Bruce Campbell. We'll be here all day.
Okay.
But, Scott, so congratulations on Compliance and More. I do receive it. It is excellent. I get all your newsletters, actually. They are essentially my friends. And I like that they visit me often.
There you go. Yeah.
It's good. It's a little It's a little dopamine hit for me.
There you go.
As I sit with the dog.
Anyway.
So what's been going on in the world of stuff and things? Because I thought, you know, we were talking about doing something like immediately before ICE, because I was a bit slow putting it together. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was the story with 888 and everything that erupted out of it was Gibraltar, wasn't it?
Yeah. It seems,
but that's mutated.
Well, it has a bit. I think it's so the story with 888 and, well, 888 as is, 888 as was, and William Hill as was, is riven with regulatory bear traps that are coming up, I think. So William Hill has a industry rumor would have it, that William Hill has a fine upcoming from a regulatory settlement with the Gambling Commission, which now William Hill in a document last year said it would be cost them at least 15 million. And now people are suggesting that actually the fine is more likely to be 25 million plus, which is obviously a huge fine from the UKGC and goes way beyond what the previous record fine, I think it was Entain. And that is coming down the track, and that is to do with behaviour that William Hill did before it got merged with 888. And then 888 itself obviously had its own regulatory settlement, I think a £9.7 million regulatory settlement with the UKGC last March for infractions caused previous to the merger as well. And now you have this admittance from 888 that they have this VIP issue with customers from the Middle East, countries unspecified, that's worth 3% of the revenue and that apparently was going through Gibraltar. So it's not maybe the UKGC's problem, but it is really the UKGC's problem. They've got an operator now that is a serial offender when it comes to regulatory problems, and it now has another problem with Middle Eastern customers, VIPs, going through a Gibraltar licensing or under the flag of Gibraltar. That seems to me to be a perilous situation for the company, put it that way.
It's a bit of a can of worms, isn't it?
I think it's exactly that. And it every time you start to talk to people about it, it all becomes very, well, you haven't heard this from me, but, which obviously for journalists is obviously, you always think at that point you've hit pay dirt, but there's a lot of rumours flying around. There were obviously a lot of rumours at ICE recently. Everybody you were speaking to was coming up with their own idea of which countries in particular we were talking about, why the CEO of 888 had to resign on the same day they notified the stock exchange about the VIP issue, what the UKGC might be doing, the size of the fine around William Hill, what might happen subsequently. You know, the issue, there's that simple issue of when did the problems emerge around the VIPs in the Middle East, and does that post-date any action that the Gambling Commission has done with 888 separately and William Hill separately? And I'm sure the Gambling Commission will be looking at this, or indeed treating it with a pair of tongs. I think it's really interesting, but yeah, it's for the company. I think it does put them in a rather dangerous position, I think.
Yeah, and it's probably arguably multiple cans of worms.
Possibly. And certainly, the other thing is obviously in the background of this, you've got the white paper, the forever delayed white paper. I mean, a Hoving interview at some point, God knows when. And obviously you will be aware, John, I'm sure you're reading the racing press and the way the Racing Post has been leading a campaign about affordability checks. But the problem the industry has, on the one hand, it has a very good argument around affordability checks and how it might damage the racing industry, or the horse racing industry has a very good argument about that. And on the other hand, the gambling industry is going to be dragged through the mud very soon, again, by big headlines that will hit the front pages of the... It's probably going to hit the... You know, it'll hit the... Maybe not the front page of the Daily Mail, but it'd be quite prominent in the Daily Mail where William Hill gets hit with a £25 million fine. And that drags it back into the... Drags the industry back into the spotlight as being some kind of rogue industry. And I really don't think it is. But it doesn't help its case sometimes.
Yeah, the other thing is as well... Generally, when a fine is levied, it's for something that was done 2 years ago, and practices have, at least in theory, improved since then. And that's something that's never reported properly in mainstream press.
Yes,
it makes it sound like it happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and you know, Jesus Christ, they're all evil.
Yes, although my caveat there is around Entain actually. And this was just a beef I had about the language that Entain used about their fine. Because they went out with something saying, this is all historic offences. And they were making it sound like it was stuff that happened in the 1960s. And it was stuff that happened 1 year before. That's not historic. It's not historic. You know, yes, they are offences that occurred in the past, but not in some dim and distant future where it was sepia tone. Yeah. They were working off bits of paper.
I mean, the start of this sentence was in the past, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Although Entain did win the current front runners in my press release of the year competition.
Oh, what's that for?
That was the one where they said that they were withdrawing from some grey markets.
Right. Yes.
without specifying which ones anything. I mean, it was a press release with the smallest amount of information I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
Only thing I was sure of when I finished reading it was that the company was called Entain.
Yeah, well, and even then, actually, if you do, I just write Entain, it always comes up with Entertain. There's nothing I can do about that. The amount of times that slipped through. Anyway, yes, I agree with you. And that actually, it comes down to this issue of like, what are you trying to, who are you trying to convince there by saying you're exiting some grey markets? Or that phrase that they use, well, we're not going to exit soon to regulate markets. That could be anything, because they're soon
really good.
They're soon to regulate is a very elastic term.
I mean, it's obvious why it's a front runner. It's a press release with everything.
Yes, or indeed nothing.
Exactly. It's got lots of different kinds of nothing in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoever wrote that, if they could just contact the podcast, we'd love to have you on. Yeah. I'd love to get your take on historical events. I'd love to read your summary of Henry VIII's relationships, for example. The big fine's going to be the biggest ever, etc. And it doesn't paint companies in a good light. No, and it doesn't paint the industry in a good light.
Exactly. It's the industry that will suffer for this.
But what I don't see companies do, and what I'd love to see companies do, is I would love to see a company say, we fucked up. This is where we fucked up. This is how it happened. And here's what we've done to make it never happen again.
Mm.
I'd really like to see that. And I appreciate I am pissing in the wind.
Yeah.
But it'd just be a really novel take on it because, you know, but I was mentioning before we started recording, I was mentioning a criticism I had recently received online. And the way that I approached that was to accept it and say, if I've done that, I need to sort it out.
Yeah.
Just bear with me.
Part of the problem, I think, is that, this will be a genuine issue, I think, is that you would have a compliance department or a regulatory team or an investor relations person who would say, we want to put the message out that we've done wrong, we've owned up to it, we've been found out, whatever, but we're not going to let this happen again, and we're going to do this and do that and stop this kind of egregious behavior occurring. And then somebody in the marketing team or whoever will go out and commit exactly the same problem, or commit exactly the same crime, or will commit the same egregious behavior. And it will make everyone in the compliance and the regulatory and the investor relation team look like a chump because they've done exactly the same problem, because the people in marketing sometimes don't get it.
Mm.
Who knew? And that's that, you know, that's it's but that's a, the reason why they won't say this will never happen again is because it's a hostage to fortune, because historically we know that it has happened again and again and again.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it is.
To not it's do tricky. Things. It's
tricky. And I know also the other side of the coin I know all too well is that the mistrust of the Gambling Commission, all that the Racing Post has said about the affordability check issue is, you know, it's very true. That has been a problem. And I don't think the commission I think the industry does have a problem with the commission. But, and I do believe them in that. But it kind of sometimes fades into the background when it comes down to the actual issues that occur.
It's very fair. We were talking about discussing something to do with New York, and
So I think the other side of the coin is obviously what's going on in the US, and everybody's very happy and hyped up and hopped up about what's going to happen there and what can.
I can barely sleep at night.
Well, you know, I do struggle. But the latest one is around the New York iCasino, potential for iCasino legislation. And your friend of mine, Steve Ruddock, has produced a piece for us today for Compliance and More, which goes through why that is going to be a particularly hard road to hoe, I think. The likelihood that they're going to get iCasino in New York. And this is one of those areas where, because Steve is US-based and understands the US political process, you should have him on to discuss issues around New York.
He may be the only person that understands the US political process.
He might well be. But the point is, when he does explain it very well in the piece, but New York is a hard state for people to fathom, even in US political terms. You have to be an expert in US state-by-state politics to understand where New York sits in that system.
And that state-by-state politics is why the US is such a nightmare.
Yes.
So the dog is about to go mental.
Okay.
Yes. So you might hear a lot of squeaking. It's not Fenton trying to crash the podcast.
It is, though, isn't it? It is, John. You've hit.
I've had Fenton tied up.
You put him in the cupboard
with a ball gag. Wait, do you know what? He doesn't bark, though, my dog. He's a massive dog. He doesn't bark. He just squeaks excitedly.
That's quite funny.
And you'll hear his tail hitting things.
So New York is potentially not going to happen in the way that... Stop it.
So, with the dog going nuts in the background. So, one thing I got to ask, right? So, the bill, no, not the, was it a bill? Do you know what? I can't remember.
It's a potential bill, yeah.
The recent proposal in California that died.
Yes.
Why did that die?
Oh, because the operators completely misunderstood the political backdrop of the tribes. 100% fucked up.
So, was that iCasino? Was that just sports betting?
That was just sports betting.
Okay, so New York already has sports betting.
New York has sports betting, and the difference you have in New York is that you already have a foothold there. You got the foothold of sports betting in the state. Well done, John. Keep putting up with it. But the problem they've got in terms of getting iCasino on the ballot, or getting it, not getting it on the ballot, but getting a bill through, is that the vested interests in New York are every bit as strong as the vested interests in California. They're just different. And it's the racinos and the casinos people. And as much as in a public hearing recently, Jason Robbins from DraftKings and a guy called Christian Ganetsky from FanDuel made the point that, oh, that there's no such thing as cannibalization of land-based gaming by online gaming. That's utter rot. And therefore, their arguments actually fall apart quite badly. We did an earnings award due diligence look at what they said today, actually. And they looked at how their arguments pan out. And they don't stand up to reason. You're not going to get a worse offer in New York in terms of odds than you do in New Jersey. It's just not going to happen like that. When they did mention that, actually, the panel said to Jason Robbins, but that's collusion. And at which point, obviously, he quickly rode back and said, oh, no, we wouldn't collude on it. It's just that would be the way it happened. I think it was a friendly panel, but even a friendly panel looked at him and said, look, Mr. Robbins, I think you might be going down a dangerous path here.
If it did happen that way, it'd be a complete coincidence.
Yes. So I think that the problem they've got with New York is that they're not going to get iCasino. They're also not going to get the lower tax rate. You can't go back to a state and say we promise tax at this level, and then you start delivering the tax take, and then say, oh, but that's you're getting as a state, you're getting too much. We're going to have to claim some of that back. The state is going to say, no, that's the amount that you promised us. You're now giving us that amount. Thank you very much. Let's carry on as was.
It'd be fair enough.
Yeah, which is, clearly.
That's why you do these things before the market opens.
Yes. It's almost as if they didn't think it through.
What?
Almost as if.
Well, we both know that's impossible. I mean, everybody knows the world has gone completely insane.
Much like your dog, I think.
Ah, the dog's gone mental. I mean, he's happy. So Val, the lady that comes and cleans my house once a week.
Yes.
She's very lovely. She does a really good job. And my ex-mother, my children, Fern, she is super dismissive of the fact that I hire a cleaning lady. But the simple truth is, I don't like doing it.
Yeah, too right.
It's not that I can't do it.
No.
It's that I don't want to. Like, you know, self-employed, spinning lots of plates, trying to pay the fucking rent and the ridiculous bills. So, you know, if I'm not going to finish work until 8 or 9 o'clock, I think it's a good investment.
I think it is.
And the dog, as you may have heard, absolutely loves her.
There you go. Yeah.
Is there any tribal influence on what's going on in New York? Because I know the tribal influence in California was behind the scenes very strong.
Yeah, no, not in the same way. I mean, there is, I think, I'm not even sure if there is, I'm unsure about the tribal situation in New York, actually.
I am actually a little bit cloudy about it as well. And you can understand certain things about the US, but then when you throw the tribal status into it, everything changes completely. Like, you know, like the approach to tobacco, et cetera, on tribal lands, you know, and it's a completely unique set of circumstances. So some of it I get, some of it I don't.
But I think to go back to the California issue, the tragedy for the sports books or for the commercial operators is that not only have they missed the chance of getting it on the ballot this time, they will never get it back on the ballot in the way that they want. They're going to have to go through the tribes to get what they want. And that means they won't get the whole of the pie in California. As and when they try and get into California, they're only going to get a smaller slice of the pie.
It's a pretty big pie, though, in theory.
In theory, it's a very big pie. It's an enormous pie.
But, you know, a small slice of an enormous pie could be...
It could be very small. No, they could be very small. That's the point. It could be very small, or it could be...
It could be.
It could be delayed. Well, nobody wants delayed pie.
You know what? But who isn't trying to teach their kids about delayed gratification?
Yeah, yeah. We'll try and tell that to Jason Robbins. I'm sure you do on a regular basis. I'm sure you're constantly talking to Jason Robbins.
Jason, if you're listening to the podcast, you'd be very welcome to come on as a guest. We won't even talk about gaming. We'll just talk about pies.
Nice. Delayed pies.
And back when I used to eat pies, I like a good pie. The English variety of pie, British variety of pie, obviously not the American variety. I'm talking about the savory dish, not the sweet dish. Okay. Although there probably are some sweet English pies. I mean, there's apple pie.
Lots of sweet English pies.
But I am very specifically thinking of the savory variety.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the Scotch pie.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that came out of left field. Yeah. I bought Fern a beef pasty the other day. Pasties are so British.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I know that other countries have things that are a bit like them in some way. But so pasty, for anybody listening who hasn't had a pasty, the classic one is a Cornish pasty. And it's like, you know, essentially the lips and arseholes off a cow or pig or sheep or whatever, with some vegetables and like some goo in a bit of pastry, which is sort of wrapped around it, and it's sort of pinched along the top to make this like seam. And this originated from tin miners in Cornwall, because they had shit all over their hands, not actual shit, but their hands were very, very dirty, and they held the pasty by the thick seam and ate it like that.
Yep.
So, if you're in the UK, try a pasty. Although if you're in London, you're not going to get a good pasty. There's probably a good pasty maker somewhere in London, but if there is, I haven't found him yet.
Might be, yeah.
But anyway, sorry. So, I got sidetracked there.
Yeah. You often do, John. Isn't that the whole point of the podcast?
Well, that's why we script it.
Did you?
I mean, that's like, I put the kids to bed on the weekend.
It's my bit of the script.
Hey, if you didn't read it, check your spam. I put the kids to bed at the weekend, and then I stay up until 3-4 in the morning working on the script for this.
Wow. And then
I even wrote that bit because I knew that was where this conversation was going to go.
There you go. You're sorry the dog didn't eat it this week?
Oh, that's a good call. Now I'm going to save that for a future episode. Scott, thank you very, very much. And congratulations on Compliance and More. It is terrific. And if anybody is looking it up, so Compliance and More is a newsletter and also available on Substack. I do heartily recommend the Substack app as a way of digesting it as well. I hope it grows and becomes just as mighty as Earnings and More, which is the mightiest of its ilk.
Thanks very much.
Well, I said before we start recording, I said you're creating something that is genuinely unique in the space. That's pretty exciting. And it's not that often that you can say something about, particularly about media. And Fintan does as well, even though he's not here, he's way being a fucking proper dad. I think Fintan would definitely agree with me that you know, projects like that should be applauded and celebrated.
That's very kind of you, Tom. That's very kind of you. As should your product with the Gambling Files, of course. The behemoth that is the Gambling Files.
And the Gaming Boardroom. Don't forget that.
And the Gaming Boardroom. Yes.
Thanks. So the Gambling. So I keep meaning to do some kind of merchandise, even if it's just business cards.
We should try a hat. Make a hat.
I've got my Cobra Kai t-shirt, which I'm not wearing right now. Fintan very kindly bought me. It's got a swooping eagle on it, and it's got this in big action-packed words that says "bite like an eagle." It's phenomenal. I wanted to take something to ICE, so maybe next ICE I'll have something Gambling Files related there. Because my stepdaughter Lorna, she does like marketing and stuff for a solicitors group in Herefordshire, but she trained in graphic design and packaging design and stuff, and she did the branding for the Gambling Files. And I love it. I think it's really brilliant, and I'd like to see it on other stuff. Just for the hell of it, I've got an idea. Right, did you ever see the TV show Extras, the Ricky Gervais one?
I did, yes.
Okay, do you remember the last episode with Robert De Niro?
Yes.
Do you remember what he was fixated on in that episode?
Yeah, go on.
It was a pen.
Gonna get a pen.
Do you remember the pen I'm talking about, though?
No, I don't remember.
It was one of those pens that you used to be able to buy about 30 years ago, maybe 40, where you turn it the right way up and the lady picture the lady and the clothes come off.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's Robert De Niro, and it was the real De Niro.
What are you going to have? You and Fintan naked.
Picture the Gambling Files artwork.
Yes.
In Fintan, in t-shirts and, you know, sort of face with no features kind of thing. Uh-huh. Picture that in one of those heat reactive mugs. And you pour the hot water in and our t-shirts disappear. Uh-huh. And all you can see is our six packs while you're having your cup of tea.
Yeah, right. Six packs. People would be drinking their tea as fast as they could just to get the image.
And we'd be helping the world hydrate. I mean, it's win-win. They'd be
burning their throats just to get rid of the image that was burning their eyes.
I love those heat reactive mugs. I think they're brilliant. And I think it could be the best ever use for one.
I don't think it is. Sorry.
I'm still going to investigate doing it.
Do that. Please do that. Yeah.
Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Look up Compliance and More, and obviously Earnings and More, and Sharper, which is, it's like the word sharper, but it's missing an E.
Yeah.
Which is Cody Longo's. Brilliant name, Cody Longo.
Brilliant name. Yeah.
Big fan of that name. I've never met him, but good name.
Yeah.
Good name. Look it all up. Go find it. Subscribe to it. Get Substack and, you know, do it.
Thanks, John.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just @GamblingFiles. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.